بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 16th hadith, which is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, anna rajulan قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصني قال لا تغضب فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب رواه البخاري. This hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to him, أوصني, admonish me, give me some advice. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, لا تغضب, do not become angry. فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept repeating, لَا تَغْضَبْ, لَا تَغْضَبْ, لَا تَغْضَبْ, do not become angry, do not become angry. He kept repeating this. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Bukhari. So the general meaning of this hadith is that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seeking advice and counsel. And this advice which he wanted from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was something which should be concise, and not something too deep and too much, rather a concise advice. But at the same time, this advice which is concise and brief should be comprehensive, such that it brings about or brings together the various qualities of good manners and good morals. And the reason why he wanted this concise advice and this brief advice is that it isn't overburdening. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives him something which is very deep and which is too much and too lengthy, then it's going to burden him, and perhaps he won't understand, or perhaps he will not be able to fulfill this advice. So he wanted advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam which is brief and concise. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised him with only two words. He said, لا تغضب, do not become angry, stay away from anger. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept repeating it, فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا, again and again he kept saying, لا تغضب, لا تغضب. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would repeat something over and over again, it shows the importance or the danger of this thing. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he repeated this advice about staying away from anger, shows us how dangerous anger is, and that all evil begins with anger. And if a person wants to maintain good manners, then he should stay away from this dangerous affair, which is being angry and having a temperament. This hadith was collected by Al-Bukhari, and there are other narrations or other wordings of the same hadith. So Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi, he also collected the same hadith, but he said that the Sahabi said, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then he said, Ya Rasulullah, allimni shay'an wa la tukthir alayya la'alli a'ih. He said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me something but do not overburden me so that I am not able to fulfill it. La tukthir alayya. The advice which you give me shouldn't be too much, something overburdening, because then I will not be able to implement this advice. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تغضب, do not become angry. And also in another hadith or another narration, The man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah wa la tukthir alayya. O Messenger of Allah, show me an action which will enter me into paradise, but don't overburden me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La taghdab, do not become angry. Now, the wording of the companion or the questioning of the companion, do not overburden me. La tukthir alayya. This wasn't from the angle of bad manners and a lack of respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it was from the angle of a person knowing his weakness. So he sincerely wanted this advice from the Prophet, but he wanted this advice to be concise so he can easily implement this advice. In the wording of the hadith, the narrators mention, أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ A man said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this man is not named. We don't know the name of this man in this narration. Whenever we find a hadith that رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِي A man from the companions of the Prophet said such and such, this hadith is authentic. Even if we don't know who this man was. Why? Because by default, any companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is udul. Any companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trustworthy and a person of integrity and does not lie upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, in the chain of narration, usually if there is a man who is not known, then this is a reason for the weakness of the hadith, unless that man is a companion. So if it is said a man or a woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we don't know who this narrator is, who is this man, who is this woman, but because it is a sahabi, then we know that they are trustworthy and the hadith is authentic. Because the idala or the adala of the companions was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. Ulaika hizbullah. They are the party of Allah, and so on and so forth. Shaykh Ibn Uthmeen rahimullah, he says that the narrator of this hadith did not mention who the man was. And therefore there is no need for us to tire ourselves by trying to search and find who this person was. The main thing is the advice which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. As for the name of the person who asked him, and where he came from, and what he looked like, and what he was wearing, none of this is important to the message and the theme of the hadith. However, Al-Hafidh ibn Rajib rahimullah, he does mention another narration, which was collected by At-Tabarani, and this narration shows that the man who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam this advice was Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhu. Because Abu Darda said, قُلْتُ Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin yudkhilni al-jannah. Abu Darda said, I said to the Prophet or Messenger of Allah, show me an action which will enter me into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, La taghdab walaka al-jannah. Do not become angry, and for you is Jannah. So perhaps this person who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. When this man asked the Prophet this advice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him an advice which is concise, brief, and yet comprehensive at the same time. It is concise and brief because it is only two words. And every person can understand these two words, لا تغضب, do not become angry. At the same time, it is comprehensive because anger is dangerous in that it leads to many other evil actions. So the person who can control his anger and has this level of forbearance and tolerance, then he will have many other good qualities in him. And the reason why anger is dangerous is with the majority of the other sins, the sin is in that action. But anger is only the beginning of the problem. It's only the beginning of the calamity. What follows on from anger is much worse. So anger is a sin, or anger is the calamity, but it isn't the core of the problem. That which follows on from anger is much severe and much worse. And this is why anger is miftah al-shar. It is the key to every evil. In the narration of Al-Imam Ahmad, when that man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Awsini, advise me." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La taghdab, do not become angry." In the narration of Al-Imam Ahmad, the man then said, "Fafakkartu hina qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam la taghdab." He said, after the Prophet advised me, I started thinking. I started thinking about the advice of the Prophet, do not become angry. He then says, فَإِذَا الْغَضَبُ يَجْمَعُ الشَّرَّ كُلَّهُ. I realized, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advise me to stay away from anger? Because anger brings about all evil. All of the evil follows after anger. Now what is anger? What is the definition of anger? What is al-ghadab? The reality is we don't need to define anger, because every person knows what anger is. That feeling that a person has when he isn't in control of his emotions and his heart is pumping and the blood is flowing and perhaps his appearance changes in that his face becomes red and you can tell from the look on the face of the person that he's in a state of anger. We all understand the meaning of anger. And as I mentioned, the reason why anger is dangerous is because of the actions which follow afterwards. How many relationships are destroyed because of a moment of anger? How much blood is taken because just a moment of anger? Lives are lost because just a moment of anger. A person may say something and enters into Jahannam just because of a moment of anger. A person may leave the fold of Islam and commit kufr just because of a moment of anger. So it starts off with this emotion which is in the heart, i.e. anger, but it can end up with qatl, with violence and killing and fighting and oppression and animosity and statements which are haram, such as swearing and falsely accusing people, and can go up to the level of al-kufr. And for this reason, some of the Salaf, they would say, al-ghadabu miftahu kulli sharrin. Anger is the key of every evil. And Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he was asked, ijma' lana husn al-khuluqi fil kalima. He was asked, combine for us or mention for us all of the good manners in a single statement. He said, tarkul ghadab, stay away from anger. Because if a person can control his anger, he can control his dignity. If the anger of a person is in control of him, then he will lose his dignity. And he will lose his honor and standing amongst the people. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this man, la taghdab, do not become angry, what does this mean? Because anger isn't something that a person chooses. It isn't something that a person is always in control of. It's a raw emotion. And sometimes a person is born with a temperament in which he becomes angry. Some people are quick to become angry, some people are slow to become angry. Some people may be slow to become angry, but if they become angry, then it reaches a level that they cannot foresee. Some people, when they become angry, it's quick to go and they go back to being calm. Other people, if they become angry, then it's difficult for them to get rid of this anger. So, la taghdab, do not become angry. This isn't something which a person chooses. So for example, do not drink alcohol, akramakumullah. This is a choice. A person chooses to drink alcohol. So if you say to somebody, do not drink alcohol, then this instruction, it's clear, it's understood. Don't make the choice to drink alcohol. But do not become angry. It's not like I've chosen to become angry. It's emotion which has overtaken me. So therefore, what is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not become angry? It has two possible meanings. The first meaning is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is advising this man to train and cultivate himself upon lofty manners. These manners, that if you have these manners and these morals within you, then anger does not affect you, even if this emotion, you are feeling this emotion. So what are these praiseworthy qualities which a person should have, like tolerance, al-hilm, cultivating and training yourself to tolerate the irritations and the annoyances of other people. And also haya, being shy. Having a level of shyness will keep you away from being overcome by anger. And modesty. And also at-tawadu, humbleness. And forbearance. And learning to pardon people. And forgive people. And trying not to get annoyed too quickly. Also, self-discipline. Cultivating yourself upon self-discipline. So you are in control of your emotions. And also having a sense of ease. And a sense of generosity. Also optimism. And positivity. And training yourself to be like this. And patience. And generally having an optimistic outlook. Smiling and being jovial and being positive. And other qualities which a person should maintain. These qualities which I've mentioned, subhanAllah, Ibn Rajab rahimullah mentions them in the explanation of this hadith. So this is the first understanding of La Taghdab, do not become angry. Meaning, train yourself and cultivate yourself upon these Islamic qualities. Because if you have these qualities in you, even if you do become angry and somebody tries to incite your anger, then it will not affect you too much. The second meaning of this hadith is, do not act upon your anger. So if you do become angry because this is maybe something which is natural to you, then keep that anger within you. Control yourself. Do not act upon that anger. Because always, if a person is controlled by his anger, then there's no limits to what he will do or what he will say. And as long as a person controls his anger and fights against his anger, then he is in control of his dignity. And this meaning, Allah mentions in the Quran, when He praises the people, He said, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those people who control and cover their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those people who pardon other people, i.e. they pardon people when they are insulted, when they are wronged, when they are angered, they pardon other people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves those people who do good. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeated over and over again, La taghdab, la taghdab, la taghdab. In other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us of strategies by which a person can control his anger. A number of strategies in which a person is able to control his anger. The first of them is, as soon as a person becomes angry, to seek refuge in Allah. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Because this anger is from a shaytan. This heat which a person feels is from a shaytan. And in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Istabba rajulani inda nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Two men, they began insulting each other in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أحدهما يسب صاحبه مغضبا. One of them was in a state of anger and he is insulting his companion. وقد احمر وجهه, and his face had become red with anger. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw these two people in a state of anger insulting each other, he said, إني لأعلم كلمة لو قالها. Verily, I know a statement. If this person says this statement, la ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ مَا يَجِدْ, this anger, these emotions which he is feeling would leave him. He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So this is the first strategy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in controlling a person's anger. As soon as you are irritated, annoyed or angered by something, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, sincerely seek refuge in Allah from a shaytan al-rajim. The second strategy which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is, don't remain in that place. Change your place, change the situation which you are in. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dharr in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ. If one of you becomes angry and you are standing, then sit down. فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِلَّا فَلْيَطَّجِعْ. So either the anger will subside or lie down. Meaning change the situation or the state which you are in. So either you change the environment. So if you're being annoyed by something, walk away. Or calm yourself down. If you're walking, stand still. If you're standing still, sit down. If you're sitting, then lie down. And so on and so forth. Why is this? If a person becomes angry and is standing up, this state of standing up is a state in which he is now ready to take some form of revenge. So as soon as he changes this state, and instead of standing like this, he sits down, naturally he will find himself being calmed. And this same advice is given in times of fitna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ. A time will come upon you. He said, الْمَاشِي خَيْرٌ فِيهِ مِنَ الْجَارِ. The one who is walking in it will be better than the one who is running, i.e. time of fitna. وَالْقَائِمْ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَاشِي. And the one who is standing still will be better than the one who is walking. وَالْقَاعِدْ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَائِمْ. And the one who is sitting is going to be better than the one who is standing in this time of fitna. Because always being in a state which is more relaxed helps a person to be in control of his thoughts and his emotions. Also, from the strategies of the Prophet in staying away from anger and controlling your anger is to remain silent. Don't speak, don't say anything. Control your tongue. When you become angry, then try to, like say, bite your tongue. Just remain silent. Let it go. And this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of Ibn Abbas. He said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. If one of you becomes angry, maintain your silence. Don't speak. Maintain your silence. قَالَهَا ثَلَاثًا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this three times. فَلْيَسْكُتْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. Maintain your silence. Maintain your silence. Maintain your silence. Because we said that anger is only the beginning of the problem. What results from anger is actions which are haram and statements which are haram. So if a person learns to remain silent, then he saves himself from the statements which are haram, even if he becomes angry. The fourth strategy which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was to use water. And he said, إِنَّ الْغَضَبْ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Anger is from a shaytan. وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ خُلِقَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And shaytan was created from fire. So fire is hot, fire burns. And for this reason you'll find that when a person becomes angry, you feel this heat inside you. The English they say, hot under the collar. You almost feel this heat inside you because it is from shaytan. And shaytan is created from fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّمَا تُطْفَأُ النَّارُ بِالْمَاءِ. And this fire and this heat which is from shaitan, it is only extinguished by water. فَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَوَضَّعُ. So if one of you becomes angry, then make wudu. In another narration, فَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَغْتَسِلْ. If one of you becomes angry, then go perform ghusl. Or even if, for example, a person wants to drink water just to cool himself and take him away from this situation and cool his temperature, he drinks some water, or he makes wudu, or he washes his face, or anything with this meaning, then this will also remove a person's anger. Also, from the strategies which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was discipline, self-discipline, being in control of your reaction. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of Sahih Bukhari Muslim, he asked the companions. He said to the companions, "Laysa shadidu bisur'a," that the strong person isn't the one who is good at wrestling and fighting and overcoming somebody else. He said, "Innama shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." Rather, the strong person and the brave, the courageous person, is the one who is in control of himself when he's in a state of anger. The one who has self-discipline and self-control, and he's able to control his emotions and his statements and his actions. Also, from the strategies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua that Allah protects you from a shaitan and Allah protects you from anger. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith, there's a dua which is narrated from him that he will say, Allahumma inni as'aluka kalimat al-haq fil ghadabi wal rida. Oh Allah, I ask you to keep me upon the truth, whether it is in a state of anger or in a state of pleasure. Because in a state of anger, a person may say something that he would never dream of saying. So if Allah keeps you upon the truth and upon the correct word, whether you're in a state of anger or you're in a state of happiness, then this is success. So making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally, any other strategy which a person finds helping himself. So for example, when a person becomes angry, the first thing that you'll find this in yourself, that your shoulders become tense. Always, if a person is ready to fight, or a person is agitated, or a person is angry, the first thing that he does is his shoulders become tensed. And then his face or his fists and other things. So some of the psychologists, they say, if you find yourself angry, just relax your shoulders. And even from personal experience, you relax your shoulders, straighter you'll find that your anger has subsided. And now you're in control of your emotions. So any other strategy which a person can control his anger. And the second point, as a point of benefit, is all anger evil? Is every type of anger displaced in Al-Islam? No. There are two types of anger. There is anger which is dispraised, and then there is anger which is praiseworthy. So the anger which is evil and wrong is when a person is angry due to his own self, his own desires, due to a sense of revenge, or any type of anger which then leads to haram, haram statements or haram actions. So this type of anger is evil, and this type of anger is madhmum. It is rebuked in Al-Islam. However, there is also anger which is mahmud. There is also anger which is legislated and praiseworthy in our Islam. And that is when the anger of a person, lillah, is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person sees evil, then it is legislated for a person to have anger inside him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person sees shirk and fisk and disobedience, a Muslim isn't somebody who's laughing and smiling and pleased with this, rather he has a level of al-bughdhu fillah, hatred for the sake of Allah. And this is al-wala wal-bara, al-hubbu wal-bughdhu fillah walillah, alliance and disassociation and love and hatred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. When it came to anger over personal issues, he did not seek revenge. He did not allow this anger to overcome him. When it came for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the limits which Allah has set, then he would become angry. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَنْتَقِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never sought revenge for his own personal benefit. But إِذَنْ تُهِكَتْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ, if one of the hurumat of Allah, if one of the limits of Allah was violated, then he would become angry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا ضَرَبَ خَادِمًا وَلَمْ رَأَةً قَطْ بِيَدِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never hit a slave, he never hit a worker, he never hit a woman, but he fought jihad fi sabilillah, because jihad fi sabilillah is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, خَدِمْتُ النَّبِيَّ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ, I served the Prophet in his house for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطْ, so he never said to me, أُف, and he never said to anything which I did, why did you do this? Or why did you not do this? أَلَّا فَعَلْتَ كَذَا, if only you did this. Because all of this was for his personal self. So the Prophet never became angry. And in the hadith of Aisha, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ يَرْضَى لِرَضَى وَيَسْخَطُ لِسَخْطِهِ. The manners of the Prophet was the Qur'an. He would be pleased in that which was in the pleasure for the sake of the Quran, but he would become angry in which there was anger. Meaning if somebody went against the Quran in something, then he would become angry. And this was from his manners. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his shyness, whenever something personally angered him, he would never confront that person. And this was from his haya. He would never verbalize that anger. But the companion would know by the look of his face that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's angry and irritated. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was more shy than a young virgin girl in the inner parts of her home. فإذا رأى شيئا يكرهه عرفناه في وجهه. So whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw something that he disliked, we knew it from his face. He didn't have to shout and scream and verbalize his anger, but we know from his face that he is annoyed or irritated by something. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard of that man Dhul Khuwaisira, when the Prophet was distributing the war booty, and the man said, "I'dil ya Muhammad," he said, "Be just, O Muhammad." And in another narration, another man said, "Hadhi qismatun ma urida biha wajha Allah," that this is the distribution of the wealth, but you are not seeking the face of Allah, meaning you're being unjust in this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face changed and he became angry. But the only thing which he said was, "Laqad udhiya Musa bi akthari min hadha fasabar." The only thing which he said was, Musa alayhi salam was tested by something more severe than this, and he remained silent. He never said anything more than this. So he became angry and he was irritated, and you could see the irritation and the annoyance upon his face. But the only thing which he said was, he remembered Musa alayhi salam, that he was angered and tested by more severe things, and he remained patient. Therefore, I shall remain patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he entered into the house or the chambers of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw curtains or cushions, and they had images of animals on them, those things which have a ruh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talawwana wajhuhu, his face changed color because he was angry and irritated. But the only thing which he said was, inna min ashaddin nasi adhaban yawm al-qiyamah alladhina yusawwiruna hadhihi as-suwar. Those people who will face the most severe punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those people who make these types of images. And also, when the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about what one of the companions who used to lead them in prayer, and he would lead them for too long, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu an, up until people would become tired behind him because of how lengthy his Qiyam was. Some of the people would leave his Salah because it was too long, they couldn't bear it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, غَضِبَ وَاشْتَدَّ غَضَبُهُ, the Prophet became angry and his anger was severe. وَعَظَ النَّاسِ, and he admonished the people, and he said, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ, are you somebody who causes problems for the people, O Mu'adh? And then he advised him to lessen his prayer and lighten the prayer upon the people. So the point is that there are two types of anger. There is the anger which one does for his personal revenge, and this is what is the starting of all evil. And then there is anger for the sake of Allah. And this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have, and we should have this anger for the sake of Allah. Especially somebody who has a level of authority. So for example, you are the imam of the masjid, you are the father in the house, you are the husband of a woman, and you see haram is being committed in your house, in your family, in your masjid, you have a level of anger. You don't smile and laugh and say, this is hikmah, this is gentleness, and this is rifq. No, you should have a level of anger inside you. But this anger for the sake of Allah, it doesn't mean screaming and shouting and belittling and mocking people and refuting. This isn't the intention. Rather, you have this anger inside you for the sake of Allah, but how you rectify the situation is dependent upon the maslaha and the mafsada. So sometimes you may show a level of harshness because the situation necessitates it. Other times you may remain gentle because the situation necessitates it. Also, we have to be careful that shaitan does not enter upon us in this. That we think we are becoming angry for the sake of Allah, but in reality it's a personal grudge. You don't like somebody, so you start refuting him, but it's really your personal jealousy. But it is tilbis iblis. It is iblis deceiving you, thinking that this personal grudge is actually for the sake of Allah. And how often is this the case? So what do we benefit from this hadith? And we finished with this. Firstly, how focused and enthusiastic the companions were in trying to benefit themselves. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "O Sini, advise me, counsel me, tell me something, instruct me with something which will enter me into Jannah and distance me from the fire." And then not only did they ask the question, then they would implement it and they would act upon it. Second benefit is whenever you advise somebody, advise him or her according to what they need. So for example, a person might ask, why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just advise him with taqwa? The Prophet said, ittaqillah, have taqwa of Allah, easy, two words and it's finished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam specified anger. Why did he specify something? Because the Prophet knew regarding this man that he has a temperament. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to personalize and individualize his advice to those who are in front of him. And also, he other advice, like he taught different types of dhikr to different types of people. People would come to him and say to him, what is the best action? What is the most virtuous type of ibadah? He gave different answers. Also, he warned different people from different types of haram, because he knew that this is what this person requires. So for example, if a person comes to you seeking your advice and you know that he's somebody who has anger, you advise him to stay away from anger and control his anger. If somebody comes to you seeking advice and you know he's always around evil people, bad people, your advice should be for him should be to accompany righteous people. A person comes to you and you know that he's bad towards his family. You advise him with being good towards the family. A person comes to you and you know that he's impatient. You advise him with patience. He doesn't come to the masjid. You advise him with the jama'ah. A person who is upon ignorance, you advise him with seeking knowledge. A person who is committing bid'ah, you advise him with sunnah, and so on and so forth. So the advice that we give, the strategy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always give the advice which is relevant to this person and personal to this person. Also, from the benefits of this hadith is to stay away from anger, because anger is the root of all evil. And also from the benefits of this hadith is the beauty of Al-Islam and the comprehensive nature of Al-Islam, that it warns against every type of evil and lowly manners, and at the same time it encourages us upon every lofty moral and manners. And this is Al-Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, تُوَفِّيَ وَدِينُهُ بَاقٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed away, but his religion remains. فَمَا مِنْ خَيْرٍ إِلَّا دَلَّ الْأُمَّةَ عَلَيْهِ. So there is no goodness except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has guided us to this goodness. وَلَا شَرْ إِلَّا حَذَّرُ الْأُمَّةَ مِنْ. And there is no evil except that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned us from this evil. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.